From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde in for Ross Reynolds. A lot of people dream of having one successful career, but our guest today wanted more than one. Aisha Tyler is an actor, a comedian, a writer. She's currently co-host of the hit CBS daytime talk show, The Talk.
Let's get started with a Kardashian crisis. Did Kanye West cheat on his baby mama Kim? According to a blistering article in the new issue of Star Magazine, a curvy Canadian model claims she was Kanye's other woman.
She's also the voice of super spy Lana Kane on the FX comedy Archer.
And if you blow that thing again, the next time you hear it, it'll be when some whore is giving you a blowjob.
Doesn't even make sense.
I think she means she'll shove it up your...
Aisha Tyler also was the character Charlie on Friends. She was on 24. She's also the creator, producer, and host of the podcast Girl on Guy with Aisha Tyler. She's also set to host the return of Whose Line Is It Anyway? That's that show with, what was his name?
Drew Carey?
Yeah, Drew Carey, right? Also Sounders owner. She's still doing stand-up comedy, and you can check out YouTube for a lot of that stuff. She's also written a new book called Self-Inflicted Wounds. Aisha Tyler, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. I'm super happy to be here.
So you have this career. You do so many different kinds of things. Where do you get this work ethic?
From my dad. Absolutely. From both of my parents, I think. But I think I kind of get my artistic bent from my mother and my work ethic from my father, who raised me. My parents separated when I was about 10 years old. My dad took me and just is a guy from, as he would call it, the old country, Pittsburgh. And, you know, lost his father in World War II very young and just has always been someone who, for whom hard work was just paramount. And, you know, got up at four and worked every job. He was a construction worker. He was a meat cutter. He was a deep sea fisherman. He was a crane operator. He just did everything.
All at once.
All of those things, that one job, which is hard to do, to operate a crane and fish at the same time. But it just demonstrates my father's incredible innovative mind. Just is a guy for whom just there's no substitute for hard work. I also think I have a lot of psychological problems having to do with wanting to excel. It sounds very serious. I was a total outsider when I was a kid, and I think a big part of my work ethic comes from him, and the other part is just this intense desire to show everybody, which I have. So suck it, high school.
And since it's Father's Day, I wanted to ask you some of the funniest things, some of the most memorable things your father ever said.
Most of the funniest things that my father's ever said, I can't say on the radio. My father is, he's hilarious. Like, he's one of those dads who, like, you know, he comes into a room and he's like immediately telling some story and he's like whips the tablecloth off the table. Dishes are everywhere. People are covered in food and they're still delighted by him. Right. And you want to die. You're like, oh, my God. And everyone's like, your father's delightful. He's so charming. But he used to often give me these. Well, here's one my father used to say to me when I was a kid and I'd be leaving for school. He had a lot of sayings. My father's just he's aphorism king. But a big one he would say when I would leave is keep your grades and your draws up. So I would hear that every morning, which was amazingly salient. And then he would also tell me what, you know, who I'd leave. This is very young, third grade. You know, whose day is it? And I'd have to go, my day. And then he'd go, what are you going to do with it? And I'd have to be like, grab it by the... Can I say? Well, I'll say testicles. That's clinical.
I think so.
That's not the word he used.
Yes.
Grab it by the testicles. And then I'd have to go, yeah. And then he'd say, what do you do? And I twist, I pull and I twist. You know, so that's my father. Just, he was just... He's a ball of it. He's still around. He just turned 70. He calls them his sacred 70s. He has a saying for every single thing in the world.
And what are the 80s?
I don't know. I don't know. Like the get naked 80s. I don't know. My dad is out of his mind. But he's bottomless energy and passion, like incredible passion for life. And I always say that if my father's house caught on fire, he would find a stick and marshmallows and roast them over the fire. Like he's undauntable. And that might have come from the fact that, you know, he had a really hard childhood and he just had to adopt this sunny outlook. He's not a Pollyanna. He's just a get it doneer. You know what I mean? And you just can't get the guy down, which I really love about him.
Aisha Tyler's here. She's an actor, a comedian, and a writer. Do you have kids?
Oh, God, no. They come out of your body. And, oh, that seems like a terrible idea.
Why not? That's why.
Ooh, that's the reason why. I've seen it done. If you want to have children, I highly suggest never watching anybody else do it because it's like looking into the eye of Sauron. And I turned to stone on the inside. And now I'm going to maybe get a puppy. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe even a puppy seems like a lot of work. I also work in like 7 days a week and So I think a kid would probably get annoyed by that after a while. Me, you know, mom, stop tweeting.
Aisha Tyler is an actress, a comedian, a talk show host, an author, and her forthcoming book is Self-Inflicted Wounds. I want to ask about this book. Why did you write about, well, what are self-inflicted wounds, first of all?
Well, thank God the president keeps using this phrase. It was like getting a lot of really free, expensive, high-level advertising from the POTUS. But on my podcast, Girl on Guy, which is an arts and culture podcast, and I often have kind of really, kind of people are at the peak of their field. Everybody from, say, Anthony Bourdain to Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine and Audioslave to Andy Richter to Chris Rock is going to be on this month. And Joe Manganiello and Tim Ferriss are on the show right now. And these are people who are very successful. And so at the end of the show, I asked them all to tell a self-inflicted wound story. And this is a story about something that's gone terribly wrong in their own life that was absolutely 100% their own fault. They can't blame anybody, not their parents, not society, not the man. It's their fault. And it's meant to kind of humanize them and show people that even people who seem extraordinary are really just human beings and just screw up like everybody else. But beyond that, a big part of my show is about being effective and being successful. And the path to success is through just a minefield of failure. And people always say to me, I don't want to be a stand-up, but I'm afraid to try. I'm afraid I'm going to fail. And I always say, well, yeah, I want you to know you're going to fail and terribly and soul-crushingly. You're going to bleed from places you didn't even know you could bleed from. But that should never stop you from doing something that you're passionate about. Failure is not like an unhappy occurrence or like a side effect. It is absolutely integral to the path to success. And you have to learn not how just to survive failure, but how to embrace it and really take it in, hug it to your breast like a golden retriever puppy, and just let it sit there, because that's what makes you strong and it's what makes you excellent. So my book is my own self-inflicted wound stories from the time I was a kid. So many that I couldn't even fit them all into the book. It's abridged. I'm sure there'll be a second and even a third. I had to stop, like in 2010. I thought that was plenty.
What are some of the ways, some of the self-inflicted wounds that you think really shaped you, really were those kind of formative experiences that made you the person that you are?
Yeah, I almost set myself on fire as a young person. Almost set myself on fire several times. There are several. I almost caught myself on fire.
You were a pyro?
No, God. If only it was that interesting. Trying to make French fries, getting on and off of a motorcycle in flammable clothing. I rode a broken hobby horse and almost stabbed myself to death. And then later in life, things like vomiting all over a boy I was trying to get to sleep with me, that's a good pickup line. Just blah. And all of my experiences as a stand-up comedian from the very beginning, which were just like abject, kind of psychological pain. But the book is all about what I got out of those experiences. And then what I tell people is, if you want to learn and grow, that's great. But if you just want to laugh, you just want to point and laugh and just wallow in schadenfreude, you could do that too. You can just read the book and be like, ha ha, you should say dum dum. Because normal people have an embarrassing experience. They try to sublimate and forget. Comedians have an embarrassing experience and we run into a bar like with two handfuls of bourbon and go, oh my God, I am such a jackass. I cannot wait to tell you what just happened to me. And so for us, the humiliation is always a story. And we have no shame. We're all very, very broken.
Comedian Aisha Tyler is here. And that actually brings me to another question that I wanted to ask, which is, you were on 24. You're an archer, so I feel like you're pretty well qualified to talk about this whole NSA spying
yes,
issue.
Yes, my stint on 24 absolutely qualified
but,
me to speak
but you're
on
saying,
national security.
As a comedian, you don't really have any secrets, no. So you're probably not that worried about it.
No. I talk a lot about this in my act. I'm actually going to be performing this weekend here in Seattle. Not in Seattle, in Kirkland, but, it's Seattle-ish. And I do talk about this a lot in my act and also in my book. And I believe deeply in personal freedoms and civil liberties. And, I was a volunteer during the last campaign. My undergraduate degree is in government, which is Dartmouth's fancy, not so fancy way of saying political science. But I think that technology is moving faster than our culture and indeed our constitutional protections. And I think that for anyone who has any iota of a belief that any conversation they're having, digitally or otherwise, is private, is utterly deluded. I mean, I've been essentially operating on the assumption that every single thing I tweet, post, Facebook, write, email, text is public. And I literally look at this and how will I feel if I have to read this back? Someone reads this back to me or tweets this back to me from the internet. A couple of years ago, and this is all, I'll just say allegedly, and then you can apply it to whatever part of the conversation you find objectionable. Someone posted a private text conversation between Shaquille O'Neal and the woman he was having an affair with. A text not an online, not emails, a text conversation between two phones. So I would just say to everybody out there, whatever you're doing, just assume that somebody is watching you. It's all going into the cloud and it's all being saved. And there are ghostly fingerprints everywhere. So, you know, don't do stuff, you don't want people to know about. If you want to have a private conversation, have it inside a closed room in your home after sweeping for bugs.
Comedian Aisha Tyler is with us. Her forthcoming book is called Self-Inflicted Wounds, and she's performing in Kirkland.
Yes.
We'll have more information about that a little bit later. So a lot of your comedy involves using language that we can't really use on the radio right now.
That's true.
But you also do these kind of family-friendly things. You do you know, daytime talk show. Mm-hmm. You're doing this. Mm-hmm. How do you manage to pivot between those two worlds?
Well, yeah, someone was asking me, how do I discipline myself on the talk because it's on in daytime? Although I would posit that show is relatively racy compared to other daytime shows. This is my 21st year doing stand-up comedy. And a big component of being a stand-up comedian is doing radio. Every time you go to a town, you got to go and kind of do all the radio shows, let people know you're there. So I've just disciplined myself over the years to make sure that I understand what market I'm speaking to and what context I'm speaking in. And also, I'm a grown-up, so I don't curse inappropriately in the wrong situations. I'm an adult. My brain functions relatively well. I know when it's okay and when it's not okay. And I'm able to really get it all out. My podcast is for the internet. There are no... As far as I know, the FCC doesn't have any kind of regulatory domain over the internet, so I'm able to get it all out on my podcast, and then I go to my other shows, and I'm able to be well-behaved.
Speaking of comedy, there's a local comedy writer, Lindy West, I don't know if you've been following this story, about rape jokes, basically.
Yeah.
It's been blowing up
the
all
Microsoft
over the
piece,
Twittersphere, and she talks about how, you know, comedians basically shouldn't make rape jokes. She says that, you know, some things are not okay, although she says it's not a free speech issue. I'm wondering, you know, for you, I mean, are there any off-limit topics and what you kind of think about that?
It's a really good question. I find this to be a very difficult topic because obviously there was a big blow up at E3, which I was at E3. I fronted the Ubisoft press conference at E3.
Because you also voice video games.
Yes, I do. I voiced 3 and I'm a big gamer and I love that world. And, you know, there's a whole other separate issue with gaming specifically, the fact that it's not a particularly welcoming culture to women. I don't care. I'll force them to like me. I'll just shoot them with my laser gun and shut them up. So there was obviously a lot of big kerfuffle, one of my grandmother, about rape jokes. Here's what I'll say, because I was asked about this earlier this week. I don't think any topic is off limits, but it depends on intent. And I feel like comedy is a form of social commentary, and it can be very powerful. It can be used to criticize every aspect of our culture. It can be used to shine light on very dark subjects, and it can be used to deflate and disempower these kind of dark elements of our culture. I think it makes everybody powerful, and it's always been the refuge of the disenfranchised. Comedy's always been, you know, you look at comedy of, you know, the last century, and it's been people of color, Jews, people who are typically disenfranchised and put on the outside and became observers and were able to criticize what was happening in society. It can be a very, very powerful tool. So I don't believe that anything is off limits. I do think it has to do with intent and context. And a lot of times when people make bad jokes, they're just bad comedians. And it's not about the subject. It's just that you're not very good at what you do. So, you know, I can't say that I think rape is off limits as a subject, because I think a lot of women could make some really brilliant, write some really brilliant material about rape.
Depending on who the target.
Yeah. And I think that even some feminist men could do some really great material about rape and really talk about how we see it and how we see sexual relations in our culture, and could really do some good and make people look at their own kind of prejudices and their own attitudes. That being said, obviously, most of the time when someone thinks that rape is funny, they're probably coming from the wrong perspective. But I think to say, I'm going to talk about this issue in a way that's going to open it up to discussion and make people examine their own preconceived notions and their own sexist attitudes, then I think that is an absolute valid path to pursue. E3 was specifically interesting because a lot of men get criticized for making really kind of discriminatory anti-women comments and jokes in that context. I made a lot of sex jokes during my presentation, but I'm a girl, so I get away with it. And you know what? That's just the way it is. Womp womp, too bad. Black people get to make jokes about black people. Jews get to make jokes about Jews. Women get to make jokes about women. And that's just the way it is until we're all totally equal and we figured it all out. Some people just don't get to do it.
Yeah.
And that's just the way that the cookie crumbles.
I think if I understand Lindy West, she would actually agree with everything that you just said.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got time for one more question. What's your next big project?
Why don't I just list them all in a speed round? You can see me this weekend at the Laughs Comedy Spot in Kirkland, Washington. Visit AishaTalley.com to get tickets. My book, Self-Inflicted Wounds, comes out July 9th in both audio e and regular old-fashioned analog book made with paper. And then the following week, July 16th, is the debut of Whose Line Is It Anyway? Reboot. I'm taking over Drew Carey. Incredibly funny. I can't wait for you guys to watch that. Then I'll be at Comic-Con with both my book and Ubisoft and my podcast. Season 4 of the 5 Emmy-nominated The Talk debuts in September, and we're on hard at work on Season 5 of Archer. And then I will probably have some kind of a mental breakdown and be committed. So those are all on the horizon.
Stay tuned for all of that. Thanks so much for being here.
It was a pleasure.
Aisha Tyler's with us, and two shows tonight and two shows tomorrow night at Laughs Comedy Club in Kirkland. You can also find more information on our website at kuow.org.